This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. We love being with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. Always eager to hear from you on Women of Grace Live. We love to have that holy conversation. We certainly do. Here's the number for you to use. It is toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Pick up the phone. Give us a try. Ryan Penny will answer the phone, and he's our call screener. He'll take your questions and get them up on the board for me, or comments, or whatever it is that you would like to share. Inspirations are always welcome as well. We also invite you to get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and use the chat features that are available for you at those opportunities. Jeff Burson is back in the saddle today, and he's going to be happy to get out there and pull those down for you. We are eager to see what's going on in your world, what you're thinking about, what's going on in your mind as we continue through our program today. Again, that's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Well, I want to tell you about a couple of different things here before we really get underway too terrifically today. I want to talk with you about a beautiful opportunity that we have for you at Women of Grace right now, and it is the Warrior's Rosary Meditations for Spiritual Combat. You know, so many people have expressed their gratitude for the book that Thomas K. Sullivan and I co-authored together called The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. And inside of that book are all of these beautiful meditations for praying the rosary, all 20 mysteries of the rosary contained there, praying them with meditations that are oriented toward fighting the good fight, on being those soldiers for Jesus Christ, on taking up, you know, the weapons of the Spirit to wage a holy war against those that would seek to take us out. And who are they? Who are those? Those are the enemies of the underworld. They are the minions of Satan. So, you know, so many people have invited us to consider excerpting those meditations from the book and putting them into their own little book, that we took them up on that idea. And so this is now available for you. It's absolutely beautiful, completely illustrated, full color, with beautiful sacred artwork, masterpieces really, that are located inside of that book to help enhance your time of meditation. It's very, very handy little size. It fits in your wallet or in your purse, ladies. It fits in your back pocket, gentlemen. You can put it into a breast pocket of a blazer. Very, very convenient for your use. Backpacks, you know, will accommodate this little book very, very beautifully. And we know that if there's one thing we need to be doing today, it's praying, right? And we know the power and the efficacy of the rosary. And so we decided that, yep, this is the thing to do. So we have it available for you, and we're inviting you to check it out. It is there for you. It's a little ahead of its official release date, but I'm really excited about it. So I'm giving you a little inside word here on radio, but we can get it to you. So do get out there, check it out. It's number 2 in our slideshow right there on our website, womenofgrace.com, and we look forward to you meditating upon these beautiful mysteries, entering deeply into them, and discovering who you are in Christ Jesus as a soldier in his army. So get out there and take a look at that. I wanted to share that with you. I also wanted to let you know that at the website, the Journey to Joy study that we aired on Women of Grace Television through EWTN there, Journey to Joy, Healing for Life Sorrows, that's available for you. We're inviting you to take a look at that and to check it out. We're hoping very much that, you know, we're making good use of this time. It's a unique time in the history of our country, a very unique time in the history of man, period, and a unique time in each one of our lives. And God has a purpose and a mission in the midst of all of it for us. So we need to be about the business of finding out what that is, how it is that we can get healed up so that we can go out there and be those more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, as St. Paul reminds us about in Romans chapter 8. So I have a question for you today, and it's one that's been pressing on my heart and in my mind as I have been listening to what's going on in the world, especially politically here in this country. And I guess, I want to get your insights, and I want to know what you're thinking. And so I'm going to give you the number again. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I want to know what it means to you to be Catholic. What is your definition of Catholic? What makes a person a Catholic? I'd be curious to know how you look at that question, because I'll bet you if you go out and you ask 10 different people, you're going to get kind of 10 different responses. And we may experience that today when you call in to answer that question. But I want to know, I think it's important for us to define who it is that we actually are and what it is that actually defines us. Now, I'm going to share my thoughts and impressions on what it means to be a Catholic. So I hear what you have to say about what it means to be a Catholic. So pick up the phone lines. Give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We are at the ready waiting for you today. Also, you can go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and you can use the opportunity that is there for you. The chat feature is waiting to receive your question, your comment, your insight, your inspiration, your word of encouragement. Jeff Burson will get those and pull them in. We have lots of definitions that run around about a lot of different things today. And I think that before we can actually begin to live the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ and begin to express that abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ in the world today, we have to know what we think, right? And I'm not sure that we always ponder the deeper questions. I just think that today we are in such a furious pace that oftentimes we don't take the time to be as reflective as we should be. I'm saying that about myself. I'm accusing myself here. I don't know if you can relate to that or not. And I don't remember, I always thought that this was in scripture, but I can't find the passage. So I'm pretty certain that it's not. It might have been said by a mystic. But the idea is that one of the greatest weapons that the evil one will use against us in the latter days is that he will keep us about so many busy things, which reminds me of the story of our Lord visiting Lazarus's home with Martha and Mary, right? And he says, Martha, Martha, you are busy about many things, but Mary has chosen the better part. And what was Mary doing in that moment? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Well, it takes us backing away from the busyness and the hurriedness of our lives to be able to hear the voice of God and to be able to ponder the deeper realities, like what it means to be a Catholic. So I'm very eager to hear what it means to be a Catholic to you, and what kind of a definition of that should be lived out in our daily lives, to what extent and to what end. And I think it will be an interesting discussion right here on Women of Grace Live today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Toll free for you here in North America. I'm eager to hear from you. And in addition to all of that, guess what? You can use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Chat feature's waiting for you. I'm waiting for you too. So get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up there. Did you know that we receive your questions and comments via email? You can always email us at womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, and I am Johnette Williams, and I am happy to be with you today, and I'm inviting you to give us a call. I threw a question out to you. What does it mean to be Catholic? What is your definition of being Catholic, and how do you define that based on the actions and the activities and the thoughts that you hold? So there's a question for you. Eager to hear from you. Phone lines are pretty well lit up, but we've got one line at least open for you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 866. We invite you to hold and stay with us as we go through our calls today. We are very, very eager to hear your definition of what it means to be Catholic. So let's get on out there. We've got Lynn with us. She is in Ferrisburg, Michigan this morning. Holy Family Radio is the way that she's with us. She's a first-time caller. And Lynn, I got to tell you, I have a great big ding-dong school bell here that I'm going to ring to welcome you as a first-time caller. There you go. So welcome, Lynn. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what does it mean to be a Catholic to you, Lynn?
I believe that it is the love for and the longing for the Eucharist and the desire to receive Jesus as the body, blood, soul, and divinity, the real presence of Jesus. There's been conversations on some of the shows about dispensation from Mass and should I go, shouldn't I go? Oh, I don't need to go. But people who are truly, I think, fully understand the Catholic faith long to receive the Eucharist and want to go to Mass.
Well, Lynn, thank you. And of course, we know that that is the case, that the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the source and summit, right, of our spiritual life. Because during the holy sacrifice of the Mass, bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are very aware of the fact that Jesus tells us in John 6 that unless we eat the flesh of the Son of Man, we have no life within us. And the life that he's talking about there is not our physical life, but he's talking about our spiritual life. So it's impossible for us to stay away from Eucharist for long, serious lengths of time and not have it affect us, even though that was a practice at different points in time during the history of the church, where it wasn't thought that you should receive Eucharist every Sunday. Fortunately, in more contemporary times, I mean, and dating back, you know, a few centuries now, that whole situation has shifted, and we realize the importance of receiving our Lord. But let me ask you this, Lynn. Once we receive Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity, is there some way in which we are to act upon that most central part of our Catholic life?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just being open to the will of God and the calling of the Holy Spirit to understand what it is God wants us to do, how God wants us to answer that call to evangelize.
Yeah, to bring others to him, to lead others to him, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. So I agree with everything you're saying, and I really thank you for your call today. You know, we live in contentious times. You're welcome. We live in contentious times, and I'm wondering, you know, as we're talking with Lynn here, you know, how is it that all of this is meant to affect us in the public square? So what does it mean to be Catholic to you today? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live today. It's toll free for you. Get out there and use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and also our Facebook page out there. Hey, Lynn, did you have another question for us before I let you go?
Well, the Spiritual Warfare Rosary booklet that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
That's not out yet. Will that be available through Catholic bookstores?
We're sincerely hoping so. Yeah, we're sincerely hoping so. Right now, it's available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. So you can get out there and, you know, I'm breaking a secret because we were to hold this until the 15th of August. We really want to release it broadly, but I guess I'm doing it a little bit early. So yeah, it's available for you there and you'll have an opportunity to read about it. And I can tell you that the meditations are very, very powerful. And that's why people were asking us to excerpt these meditations. Beautiful endorsements that we receive. Father Wade Meneses, marvelous endorsement on the back. Father Calloway's endorsed. Carrie Gress is endorsed. Kathleen Beckman has endorsed. So it's a beautiful, beautiful way to enter into the mysteries of the Rosary and really to be girded up to be those people that we're being called to be today in our day and time. So I'm glad you're interested in it, and I pray it blesses you abundantly.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Lynn. God bless you now. Bye-bye. Let's get to Jody. Jody's out there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a place I love to go. I love the people in Baton Rouge. Catholic Community Radio is the way that she's with, or he. I don't know if it's a woman or a man, because Jody's can be either. But Jody, are you a woman or a man?
I am definitely a woman.
I hear that in your voice as soon as you open your mouth. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking.
Great, great. Now, what it means to me to be a Catholic just the family that God has placed here for us. You know, we're all, every human is created by God for Him, and that He's given this beautiful faith to us to be in union with Him through the sacraments and through the church, His authority, and with Jesus Christ as our brigadier general, to bring the truth of who He is to the whole wide world, and to be open. I agree with Lynn, to be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and to be able to get into silence to hear Him, and
yeah,
just to be loved and to be a gift to others. That's what I have to say about that, as Forrest Gump would say.
Well, I really appreciate that, Jody, and I appreciate the way in which both you and Lynn have phrased your response, in that, yes, it's our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, but that relationship is not meant to be held selfishly. It's meant to be shared with others. So, you know, it's loving the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and then loving our neighbor as ourselves. And if we truly love somebody, we're going to give them the best thing we have, and the best thing we have is our faith in Jesus Christ, right? So this call to evangelize, to go out there, to make a difference in the world, according to the precepts of Holy Mother Church, given to us, also through sacred scripture, to make a difference in the world today. And that's the part I think that's really incumbent upon us. I remember years ago that it was stated that this time, this epoch of the church, if you will, or this era of the church, would be known as the time of the, or the age of the laity. And some have said it's going to be the age of Mary, and it certainly is that as well. But the age of the laity, meaning that the laity would come into its own in terms of seeing itself as an evangelizing force in the world. And so I'm always happy when we talk about that aspect of things. And you did that beautifully, and so did Lynn. So thank you for your thoughts today. I really appreciate them.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all the work that you do. And I continue to pray for EWTN and Catholic Radio, which really taught me my faith. I'm a 60-year-old woman who really didn't come into her faith and really embrace it until I was around 50. And I'm just so grateful to God for
Well, I'm grateful to him too for you. Thank you. And I'm grateful for your reversion to the faith. And, you know, if there's any of you that are out there listening right now and you've been away from the faith for a while, you know, here's Jody. She's sharing with us about the fact that, you know, she's been back for 10 years now. And you should come home. Come home, because there's a lot here. Is the church living, you know, in a way that is always in accordance with the will of God? It's comprised of broken and fallen people. So we all, as church, fall short of the glory of God. There's no question about that. But Holy Mother Church herself is the bride of Christ, and she will be made spotless, and she will be made unwrinkled, and she will be made immaculate as we continue to take our faith to heart, and to live that faith, and to allow Jesus to live within each one of us. So don't let the machinations of men stop you. Don't let the way of the world stop you. Come home. This is an invitation from me to you to come home to Holy Mother Church. It's there that you're going to find fulfillment. It's there you're going to find truth. It's there you're going to find hope. It's there you're going to make your way to life on high in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jody, and God bless you, sweet woman.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye-bye now. We're going to go to Lynn calling us from Houston, Texas today. Guadalupe Radio Network is the way. Lynn is with us. You can join us too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. The question is, what does being Catholic mean to you? What is your definition of a Catholic, and what defines someone as a Catholic? So, Lynn, what are you thinking?
Well, I asked myself back in my teens, I wanted to learn the Apostles' Creed, so I prayed about it, and as I learned it, after I learned it, it was, I was given the grace to pray it. And once I prayed it, then I heard like an inner voice say to me, "Is this your faith?" I said, "Yes." "Are you willing to die for this faith?" Mm-hmm. "Yes." And it's like, "Okay, then live it." I didn't hear that part, but it's just like, go forth, like when they send us after the Mass.
That's right.
So that's how I knew at that moment what it meant to be a Catholic. It's like the beginning of the Apostles' Creed, and everything it says there, I believe it, and it's true in my heart, and it gives me strength when I'm really, you know, kind of falling, you know, I need a little rope. I hang on to that little prayer, because it just pulls me right back up. And also, they shared with us not too long ago at Mass the commandments, you know. And afterwards, I reflected with my husband, and it was like, be in love with the commandments. We have to be in love with them, because that's who we are, and that's who God is. So being in love with the commandments will make it so much easier not to break any of them.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you know, I love what you're saying here, Lynn, and the Apostles' Creed is wonderful. And, you know, we pray that Apostles' Creed every time we pray the Rosary. And I'm hoping it's not only in the Rosary and during the Rosary that we pray the Apostles' Creed, and we proclaim and profess our faith through the Nicene Creed, which is mm-hmm. just a little longer version of the Apostles' Creed at Mass every single Sunday. But I do wonder the same question that you wonder: would I have the courage to offer my life for the faith should that opportunity, beautiful witness, be offered to me? And I can only say that I pray so. You know, I don't think that we know what we'll do in that moment, but I can only pray that all of the, you know, the nourishment that I've received, the grace that I've received through the sacraments, and all of the prayers that I've prayed will come to the ready at that moment, so that I will be able to join that great cloud of witnesses should it be requested of me. And so I think it's a fair question to ponder from time to time. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about, right as we were chit-chatting here, John Paul II, in the papal bull of indiction for the coming of the Jubilee year, I believe that it was in that papal bull, he talked about the fact that we cannot consider it outside of our own life's horizons, that the possibility of martyrdom might be offered to us, that we should, and he said, and we should be praying for the desire of martyrdom. And boy, did that struck me right between the eyes. You know, it's one thing to have this vision of yourself doing these great and lofty things, but another thing to actually begin to pray for the desire to become a martyr for the church. So, you know, that's in our day and time, we need to be thinking about that, because we know that Christians, Catholics are being martyred all over the world right now. And we cannot think that it might not happen here. As a matter of fact, I think it's possible that it could happen here. So, yeah, you gave us something to really big to think about here, Lynn.
God love you, Janet. And I just wanted to say, I love you with the love of the Lord Jesus. Where my love is limited, Jesus's love has no limit. So a holy Catholic priest taught me that. And he said, I said, "Father, you're a priest. I'm a lady. I don't know how to tell you, but I want to tell you I love you." He said, "Well, you say, I love you with the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord." And uh-huh. that's what he said. The love of the Lord has no limit. He said, uh-huh. "Your love has limit. Well, if you love me with the love of the Lord, there's no limit." And that was Father Santos Mendoza.
Oh, that's beautiful, Lynn. And you know what? I didn't ring my first time caller bell for you, so I'm going to ring it now. There we go. Oh, dear me, that's loud.
That was for my guardian angel, too. Thank you, Janet. God bless you.
God bless you, too, Lynn. Bye-bye now. Oh, my goodness. Wonderful calls coming in today. The question is, what does it mean to be a Catholic? What is your definition of being a Catholic? And how do you define somebody as a Catholic? That's the question that we've got on the board for you today. Let's get to Doug. He's in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota. Sirius XM 130 is the way that he is joining us. And Doug, I haven't heard from you for a long time.
Hi, Janet. Yeah, I'm thinking of you because I'm going up to a conference up by Fargo where I saw you last time, and I was wondering if I was going to get to talk to you personally, and sure enough, you just showed up, and you tapped me on the shoulder, and yeah. So, yeah, good to hear from you. I think I know what you're talking about when you're alluding to the devil's trick of keeping us busy. In Matthew 24, I think, Jesus says, it will be as in the days of Noah when everyone is just going about their regular, ordinary business, you know, marrying and partying and so on. And that's kind of synonymous with your thought of keeping us busy with other stuff.
Exactly.
My idea of the being Catholic, I boil it down to, we have the devil's playbook, and that definitely gives you an edge over your enemy. If you can somehow get their playbook into their secrets, and I believe that the main secret that Catholics have over our separated brethren is the enemy is trying to whittle away at our rampart. Our strongholds,
yes,
which are depicted in Bosco's vision of the ship chained to the two pillars.
Yep.
And I believe the devil would be happy with any form of Christianity as long as it doesn't have Our Lady as our mother and queen.
And Doug, I gotta leave it right there because we're going to a break, but we're going to be back, and I want to comment on what you're saying. 833-288-EWTN. Join us. What does it mean to be a Catholic to you? We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today, inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us. Toll free right here in North America. Ryan Penny waiting to hear from you. We do have a few phone lines open right now, so this is a good time to call in to answer the question of the day that I'm asking, or to talk about anything else you'd like to talk about. But the question of the day is, what does it mean to be a Catholic? What is your definition of Catholicism? And what defines someone as a Catholic? Very important questions to ask and to answer as we move through our day and time where so much seems to be up for grabs and people empty words of what is their known definition and substitute definitions for them that are not quite the same thing, in many cases can be quite contrary to what they truly mean. It's an important question to consider. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel Facebook page is available for you there. A couple of people weren't able to hold through the break, so I'm inviting you, give us a call back. We're here for you. We have Doug on the line here. Blooming Prairie, Minnesota is where he is. Sirius XM 130 is the way he's listening to us. And he was quoting Matthew 24 in light of the comment that I made earlier that the devil would keep us busy about other things in the last times. And Jesus says, and this is one piece that I wanted to pick up on, Doug. Jesus says that, you know, it will be as in the day of Noah. Now, remember that. What was happening in the day of Noah? The earth was being flooded, right? And God told Noah, build an ark, get in the ark, right? And he told him to bring, a pair of animals of every kind and species, right? And so, his family got into that ark and they were saved. Well, in our day and time, what is the ark? what ark is God providing for us? Well, I think the ark is someone whom you mentioned, Doug, prior to the break in what you were sharing with us, and that is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary is the new ark of the covenant. And so in this day and time, when things are so contentious, in this age of Mary, we get into the ark. We get into the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Lady. This is one of the reasons why I think that consecration to Jesus through Mary is so big today. Now, the second thing, Doug, I wanted to comment on, you were talking about how it is that the evil one wants to prevail against the church. And we also hold on to the words that Jesus gave us when he says to Peter, when he institutes the first pope, Peter, and he says, upon this, you are rock. Simon, son of rock, you are rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Well, when Jesus says the words of hell will not prevail against her, it's because he knows that the gates of hell are going to try to prevail against her, but those gates of hell will be unsuccessful. Now, I'm looking at a book called The End of the Present World and the Mysteries of the Future Life, written by Father Charles Armanjohn, two centuries ago, maybe not quite a full two centuries ago, but back in the 1800s. And Saint Thérèse of Lisieux loved this book. She said, reading this book was one of the greatest graces of my life. Now, we think things are bad today, and let me tell you, things are bad today. There's no denying it. Things are very bad today. But there's always things that are bad in a day and a time. How we prevail in those days and time is what makes the difference. And here he's talking about Holy Mother Church, and he says this. He says, at present, and this is Father Armanjohn now, remember, 1800s. At present, many signs point to a great victory for Christianity. Here's what he uses to say that there will be a great victory for Christianity. This is why we have hope. I'm jumping up and down in my chair right now. This is why we have hope. At present, many signs point to a great victory for Christianity. Do not our enemies have a presentiment of it? Does not a secret instinct warn them that the days of their power are numbered and that the time when it is given to them to prevail cannot be long duration? This is why they enlist in the war they wage against the church. All the hateful corruption, all the hypocrisies anxious to drop their masks, all of the hostile sciences, all the shade and godless politics. The revolution boldly raises its standard against religious property and the family, saps the foundations of the social structure, and mounts its attacks against us simultaneously on every front. The press, freed from every restraint, disseminates the most subversive doctrines and the deadliest poisons in 1,000 organs. We can understand that in such a situation, the mighty should feel irresolute in their counsels and their courage and constancy seem to falter. We can understand that beyond the clouds and troubled horizons, they discern somber prospects and predict a renewed outbreak of crime, wars, and frightful upheavals. Isn't this unbelievable? Yet it is precisely the incredible audacity, the continual renascent fury of our enemies that gives us hope of a glorious new era for the church. Christianity in our day is being attacked everywhere, in the arts and sciences, in church and state, in Europe as well as Asia, in the old and new world, a sure sign that it will triumph everywhere. When will this be? God knows, but the fact is certain. The blood of martyrs becomes the seed of Christians. Glory, hallelujah. So all of this misery that we see around us, all of this push of evil into the culture of the day, all of those who proclaim a false gospel in the media, in the press, in political settings, all of that is portending a great auspicious victory for Christianity. It's going to get darker before it gets light. Scripture says so. It's always darkest just before the dawn, and it's pretty darn dark out there. So I am saying we cannot be far off. Remember this, John Paul II predicted a great springtime of Christianity, but as this book states, and as John Paul II alluded to, what was it that preceded this tremendous growth? This beautiful first springtime of the church, which is now long past. What was the precursor of that? The blood of the martyrs, ending with the reign of Diocletian, the bloodiest of all martyrdom times. So we should be prepared for martyrdom, as Lynn mentioned, Doug, as you're alluding to, too. So, yeah, good thoughts today, folks. I mean, you know, we've got our thinking caps on here, and I really, really like it. What does it mean to be Catholic to you? So how do we make a difference? How do we define someone as a Catholic, and how do we make a difference? So, Doug, it was great talking to you. Thank you. You got me all riled up here.
Yeah, yeah, you just keep hopping in your chair. That's exactly what attracted me to Women of Grace. You are flesh and blood of John 16:33. You will have trouble, but take courage. And you're hopping in the chair is the courage that we need to bring to the world that just affirmation that's the devil's playbook.
That's right.
He's trying to whittle away at those two pillars that Bob spoke of.
And let me just interrupt you, Doug. I'm sorry to do that, but I want to emphasize that that's true. And today, didn't we hear that in our calls? We heard Eucharist. We heard Blessed Mother through the proclamation of the Rosary, right? So we know what the pillars are. So we don't face the situations that we're looking at today with fear. We face them with hope and with courage and sure knowledge that the victory's been won in heaven. It just has to trickle down here to the natural. And we're going to stand firm on that. Doug, good man of God, good hearing from you today. And thank you so, so very much. I'm going to dash on to Melissa now because I want to try to get everybody in today. Melissa is in Topeka, Kansas. She is with us via Facebook. Good morning to you, Melissa.
Good morning, Jeanette. How are you today?
I am dandy. How about yourself?
I'm enthused. I thought of something that will connect with your heart. Big time. Here's something I want to say. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
my heart's pounding. Okay. We are stained glass windows in the world. Allow the light of God within, and then the light shines out from us to others. And share that with everyone. And then I had another thought. Okay. Today is the day of the apparition in Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
The children were kidnapped on this date, and nobody knew.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, 1917.
They did not have a calendar, so it was estimated time. So hear me out. While everybody's enjoying, like, hey, everybody, rah, 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 let's go protest in the streets for this, they're getting kidnapped. And mm-hmm. during the Spanish flu. But I just wanted to say that it happened on a date. Nobody knew. Everybody was like looking for the apparition on the 13th, but it didn't show. You know, it was late. Our Lady was late. And that's why, because everybody was looking away, which is happening in our country. Did you, I don't know if you've heard what happened in Chicago on Sunday night into Monday morning.
Yes, go ahead. Share with us all.
At the Ronald McDonald House.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I wanted you to be praying and just know that, we're all aware. We see everything, you know, I know what's going on. We can see it as a Catholic. We're shown this, but we need to spread awareness that, you know, we're not ignoring it, you know?
Right. Well, you know, and Melissa, you know, this is the tension that we have, that, you know, and in my mind right now, I'm picturing somebody walking on a tightrope, a very precious word for me. But, you know, we're walking on a tightrope and we're afraid that we're going to fall off of this tightrope. Well, the tightrope is our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're walking on that tightrope, he is going to hold us firm and we have nothing, absolutely nothing to fear. But the point is, we have got to persevere, and we have to let, just like we can see somebody walking on a tightrope, right? And we're all holding our breath, you know, will that person get to the other side? The fact of the matter is, you know, everyone's watching us too. Everybody's watching how it is that Catholics will respond to what is going on today. And we have to have a Catholic response. And where do we find our Catholic response? We find our Catholic response in the teachings of the church. And so I encourage everybody to become familiar with Catholic teaching on what true social doctrine is, what the Catholic Church teaches on all of these issues that we're looking at today. What does the Church say? And part of being Catholic, in my mind, is not just stating I'm Catholic or keeping in you know, ghettoizing myself in my Catholicism, if I can use that phraseology, but part of this is acting on Catholic teaching, acting in concert with Church, holding the same views as the Church holds and moving forward in those views and working hard diligently for those views. Every life matters to God. He creates each life in His image and in His likeness. And therefore, we have got to uphold the dignity of every single person. And we have to do that in a way that expresses His love. God is not a violent God in the sense of the violence that we see today. So we have got to take a stand for the things that are beautiful, that are good, that are true. And if we as Catholics did that, we would see major changes happening in the world today. But we've got to rouse ourselves, you know. Awake from your slumber, you know, is one passage from Scripture. We've got to awaken, you know, the giant beast, you know, the giant reality of the Catholic faith has got to waken up in us, and we've got to move forward under the power of God in the fullness of that reality. So thank you, Melissa, and I love the idea of the stained glass window, and we're all going to do it differently, just like a stained glass window is offers many varieties of light, and the shadow comes through differently. Each one of us has many different gifts, many different talents, many different ways in which God wants to use us, but all of them will point to Him, just as those beautiful stained glass windows in our churches do. Thank you, sweet woman. God bless you. Now we're going to go to Marcia. She is in my hometown where I was born and raised, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She is with us via Facebook, and she's a first-time caller. And there's her bell. Good morning, Marcia. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What part of town?
Well, actually, I'm outside in the Beaver County area.
Okay, yep. Isn't that Joe Namath territory?
Yes. Now, where were you from?
I was from the east side of town. You would go, you know, you would go through the Squirrel Hill tunnels, and I grew up in North Versailles Township, and then my parents moved to Churchill, and my late husband was from Swissvale. So if you know that area at all, you kind of know the stomping grounds.
Okay, all right.
So tell me, what's going on with Marcia?
Well, I was wondering if you have any words of encouragement or any wisdom to depart. I was married for 40 years, and I'm finalizing the divorce now. And I came back more to the Church since I've been separated. But the closer it gets to finalization, I'm a little bit struggling with more emotions than that.
Sure.
Although I have been separated 4 years.
Okay.
So it wasn't a good situation. And now, you know, I mean, do you have anything that might help me?
Well, so Marcia, let me just ask you some questions. And yes, and we'll pray together here on the air too. But I want to ask you this question. Obviously, you've received counseling and the advice and help from a priest. Have you, as you've made your way through this time?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes, I have. Yes, because after I was separated, you know, I was separated for 4 years. I just, I don't know what. It was total introspection. And then recently I reconnected, you know, to the Church, and I have talked with a priest. Yes, I have. So I'm back ingrained with my faith the way I used to be. But I'm still, how do I want to say? It's not that I feel shunned. It's just that I feel, you know, I don't
alone,
know.
I'm isolated.
Kind of. I mean, well, COVID didn't help that. But it is trying to get back integrated into life is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it must be said that, you know, God desires that husbands and wives stay together, obviously, right? And we read in sacred scripture how Jesus tells us that what, you know, God has put together, let no man put asunder. The question is, did God put it together? And that's where we look at these things through the lens of whether or not there was ever a true covenantal union between a man and a woman. And that's where Holy Mother Church is very helpful in helping us to objectively look at the realities of what went on at the very time the marriage was taking place. And that's, you know, was there an impediment there? And it's based on that that the church will look at things and consider things as to whether or not it's an annulment. 40 years together, and let's just say 36,
separated. We were married 40 years. I've been separated 4 years.
Yeah, that's right. So being married for 40 years with a separation of four.
Right.
That's a long time.
I'm going to pursue annulment in spite of that, which kind of seems like after all that time, you know, like you're going to annul a marriage that lasted that long. But that's what I feel called to do, because the divorce is civil, but the annulment is the religious.
That's right. So, you know, and I'm glad that you're seeking counsel for this, but to answer your question about the emotions, it is a natural response that there would be some anxiety, that there would be some concern, that there would be some fluctuation in how you really feel at this point, because you were bonded to this man for all of those years. And it would be unlikely that for all of those years, there wasn't, you know, a life that came together and became one. So as a result of that, it's a ripping apart of something. And so, you know, those emotions are to be expected in one way. And I would talk with your priest about those emotions too, to you know, really clarify them so that you can make certain that, you know, the emotions are not speaking to you in a different way. So I think that would be a good thing for you to do. And what I do know is that God loves you and he wants the best for you, and that he will work all things to the good. We don't presume upon the Lord, but we trust in him. And so, you know, when we have deliberated and we've received advice and counsel, then we just place all of our faith and our hope and our trust in the Lord. And so let's just say a little prayer together now. So Father God, we do come together in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I lift your daughter, Marcia, up to you. And you know what's going on. Father, you know what's gone on from prior to this marriage. You know what was going on at the time of the marriage. You know what went on after the marriage. You know everything about this. And you know where your daughter's heart is. And I would ask that in the midst of this, that there would be that peace that surpasses understanding. No matter the outcome here, Lord, I ask that you would restore your daughter completely and totally. I ask, Lord God, that she would find in Holy Mother Church that which she most needs, the comfort, the solace, the nourishment, the hope that will walk her through this moment and every moment of her life. Father, I entrust Marcia to you in the most immaculate heart of our Blessed Lady, and I ask you, Mary, our mother, to rain down upon your daughter all of your maternal beatitude, all of that beautiful generosity that only a mother can give. And so it is, Father, that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with a maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. So, Marcia, I'll be tucking you into my prayers today, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, darling. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
Thank
yeah,
you.
These,
bye.
You're so welcome. These moments are so, so very difficult. It certainly is very, very difficult. I want to quickly try to get to Ben in San Antonio, Texas, Guadalupe Radio Network, first-time caller. Welcome to you, Ben. Hi.
Howdy, John.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I
I'm
do.
Good.
Good. So we're coming to the close. So wow. I'm going to ask you quickly. Tell me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have been a Catholic my whole life. My parents are Catholics. My grandparents are Catholics. My great-grandparents, everybody. And what I find, you know, quite interesting. I mean, I agree with everything that everyone is saying today. But for myself, in my early 20s, to be a Catholic is almost like a decision filter. You know, when you're presented yes. with different, you know, alternatives, or, you know, someone's trying to convince you of something, you know, it's easy. You know, I feel like it's easier, you know, to have a set of, you know, standards and always be wondering, you know, is God going to approve of this, you know, or something like that. And it's easy to make decisions, you know, you
and
don't
Ben,
have to necessarily worry.
We're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank you because that is an excellent comment. And so everything that we think, say, or do should come from those standards. And that's the way that we live our faith. And we don't make decisions against it. Sorry I couldn't get you, Sunita, but I'm hoping you'll call back tomorrow. I'll be waiting for you and for all of you, too. God bless you now. Bye-bye.